morning. So, I'm Pastor John. It's good to see you. How are y'all doing? Good? All right, so confession. Why is there a stool behind me? So, if you're wondering, I may sit on this thing in a little while. Friday, y'all pray for me. I have full hip replacement Friday. So, I know, 43 years old, what I found out from my 43rd birthday is I will be having full hip replacement Friday, so y'all be in prayer for me. So, if I sit down like this, you won't even really be able to tell that much. It's not that much of a difference, but I got this kind of back there as a backup thing, but it's good to see you this morning, and with that being said, I want to tell y'all Merry Christmas, too, because I probably won't see you again, because next Sunday, I'll be 2 days out of surgery, so... All right, so this morning what we're going to look at is Mary from the cross to the from the cradle to the cross. So go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And while you're getting there, I'm going to share this kind of intro with you. We're riding around Lake Charles Friday. I live in Moss Bluff, and Taylor, my daughter, loves to look at Christmas lights, and we were riding around Moss Bluff Friday night, and Lakeshore Drive, if you've never been down there, has probably one of the places, if you're in Lake Charles, you want to go, and in front of the Civic Center, and they've got a bunch of stuff at the seawall. But as we were doing that, I'd been working, doing some message prep that day, but as we had been doing that, I thought about something. Somebody told me years and years ago about Christmas lights, and it kind of broke my heart, and I wondered where that person was at. And this is what they said. One day we were talking about Christmas lights, and he said, I was talking about some house that I had seen in Alexandria, and on the roof of that house, there was this huge cross. In the front, they had a nativity scene, and on the roof of the house was this big blue cross. And I said, you know, very seldom do you ever see the cross in Christmas lights. I said, but I appreciated that. And he told me, he said, I just think it's out of place. He's like, I don't want to think about that when I'm thinking about the manger and I'm thinking about Jesus being born like that. And I said, do you realize without, you know, Jesus came to the manger so he could go to the cross. I was sitting here, and I want you to look at something. I noticed this sitting on the front pew. Mary's kind of always at the center of the nativity scene, but if you look, she's holding Jesus, and if you look straight up from where she's at, what's in the background? Amen. The cross, right? When that guy told me that, yeah, this thought kicked in my head, and here's where my brain went with that. What is the centerpiece? Like, Mary's the centerpiece there. The centerpiece of this room is kind of up there that we're looking at. A focal point is the cross. The centerpiece here, the pulpit, is here for a reason in the middle. What is the centerpiece of Christmas for us? And I pray for you and me. We're going to talk about Mary, but I pray in the end that it's from the cradle to the cross, that the centerpiece of your Christmas, you know, that Jesus came wrapped in swaddling clothes like a present, that you have a Christmas tree in your room, but it reminds you of the cross that Jesus Christ died on. And if it were not, and we're going to talk about Mary, his mother, this morning. We're going to talk about why God chose her. We're going to talk about some things about her character, and I'm going to give you a couple things to take away with you, I hope. But as you turn to Luke 1, we'll begin in verse 26. I'm going to read that to you, and we'll go all the way to 37, and then we're going to pray. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray. Father, as we look at Mary this morning, I just pray this. Father, I pray you fill me with your spirit, that you'd speak to your people, Father, and that we as your people, as we walk about outside the doors of this church, God, that we would be about your work, that we would be about your business, that we would tell people our story and how our story relates to you, that you've saved us, you've redeemed us, and Father, it was through the delivery of your son at the cradle, Father, in a manger, in a smelly place, Father, to a place even worse, a cross where he died, so my sins now and forever could be forgiven with the sins of everyone in this room. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at Mary this morning, the first thing I think about, and you know, some of you might be struggling with this. I'm 43 years old, and there are times, I'm going to be absolutely honest, I'm still wondering a little bit about the purpose of my life. I mean, I get it's to glorify God, but I'm talking about specifics. Anybody else in here kind of in that boat? You raising your hand back there? This is what I thought about. When we think about purpose, my 14-year-old daughter is sitting there, and I got your age right. I didn't. Usually I announce her at the wrong age. My 14-year-old daughter is sitting right up here right now. Taylor, do you know what you're going to do with the rest of your life right now? I'm putting you on the spot. You need to tell me. You don't, do you? Neither does your daddy at 43. He'll confess that, and he confesses that before all of them. But here's what I want you to think about with Mary. Mary, we think, was somewhere between 12 and 14 years old. As a 43-year-old man I'll get on this one day. God's been kind of putting me through the ringer, and I'll just tell y'all this, and y'all pray for me about this. And Jacob wrestled with an angel, and he dislocated his hip. There's probably a reason there's a stool behind me. I'm going to just throw out there, and you pray for that for Pastor John. Just saying. But if you had, you know, your purpose as a human being, everything, you know, one of the thing you were put on this earth for, Taylor says, you know, at 14, she can't do it. At 43, I can't do it. But Mary, this young girl, because that's who she was, probably that age, can you imagine God put her whole purpose before her? And, I mean, she was a person. I get that. But one of the most important jobs ever given a human being was given to this woman. And we're going to get to why in a second. But one of the main points I want you to get on this about purpose and Mary's purpose are a couple of things. One thing, an angel came and told her what was going to happen with her, right? Here's the purpose. Your purpose is to deliver God's son. His name's going to be Jesus. I'm going to tell you what to name him. I don't know about you, but I never had an angel show up in my room. Not really looking for that experience, but she had an angel show up in her room. I guarantee you, if I ask Pastor Kevin this right now, and I'll go ahead and do this. Pastor Kevin, did you ever hear a voice from God tell you that he was calling you to preach? You did. Kind of spoke to you in your head, right? Yeah. Did it kind of scare you a little bit? Yeah. Yes, exactly. I had something very similar happen to me. I was praying about my purpose one day, and I said, God, and I know this is wrong, and I would never do it again. I said, God, I need a sign. At that exact moment, the radio went, if you're looking for a sign, here it is. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know about this. It kind of scared me a little bit. But Mary had an angel, and you know, we have the Holy Spirit to speak to us. But here's another thing, too, and this is one of the things I picked up in this passage, and it's kind of why I stopped where I stopped. It says that she had someone who was Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant, that she was going to go to, and if you continue reading on in that, and I'll read you these couple of verses, it says, in verse 39, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So, You know, we have the Holy Spirit. Mary had an angel. We have the Holy Spirit to speak to us. But this is something I want you to get a hold of right here. God puts people intentionally in our lives. Here, it's Elizabeth. She had been barren, was not supposed to have children. She was 6 months pregnant. Do you think it was an accident that an angel appeared to Mary, gave her this big announcement? She's probably blown away at that time. Thinking of all the things that are about to happen to her. She's espoused to a husband. She's got to tell him, you know, an angel told me I'm pregnant. Her family's probably going to shun her. All these things are going on. But in the midst of all that, God put somebody in her life as a proof, basically, for her to go see Elizabeth. And here she is pregnant. Not only that, and guys, grab on to this, too. It says, because it's John the Baptist is who it is, says he leapt in the womb and he was filled with the Spirit. I'm going to throw this out there. That the whole abortion thing, if you're wondering if there is life in the womb right there, the baby was filled with the Spirit right there. Leapt in the womb. God knew us, and Scripture tells us that in the Psalms. It tells us, you know, before we were, he knew who we were, and he knew how we were going to be and who we were going to be. But this baby leapt in the womb. But the greatest thing about this, I think, and looking around this room, I think about this too. God, there is not one person in their entire Christian life that I can think of right offhand that has ever accomplished their purpose, including Mary. She had Joseph. She had these people around her as a support group. There has never been one person in the Christian faith accomplish their purpose in this life by themselves. Y'all believe that? I believe that. We need each other. She needed Elizabeth. I need you. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. Pastor Kevin needs your prayers. He's been struggling with some illness. You know, all these things going on. I personally do not see how people walk through this life without a church family. And I'm not saying I've never done it. But I tell you this, when things get hard, when I need somebody to talk to, you know where I look? I've got some really good friends, but the ones I go to are the ones that I know will pray for me and will stand in the gap for me, and those are Christian people that I love and care about. That's who I go to, y'all. Purpose. Mary found her purpose with the help of an angel, but with the help of someone else as a proof. And God sometimes, that saying, and I've heard Pastor Kevin say this, God's never going to put anything on you that you can't handle. That people say that and say, oh, you know, God's not going to put anything on me that's going to break me. That is absolutely not true. There are times God's going to put things on you where you will reach out for other people. And this is the thought I had the other night. If that were the case, why would God have ever created marriage? Why would you need a helpmate? Why would he ever have put Eve in the garden with Adam? Because there's going to be times in our life, especially when we're looking for our purpose, that we're going to step and we're going to fall. We're going to have good things. We're going to have bad things. And I heard a message yesterday, things that make us bitter. And it's going to be the people that God puts around us that's going to help us get through that. That's what happened with Mary. Those people that surrounded her, and it was from the cradle to the cross, and we'll get to that in a second too. But God always had people around her to help her in her walk because it was a difficult walk. The next thing we look at, we see her purity. I asked multiple people when I said the name Mary, what the first thought was that came to their mind. And one pastor answered me online. The shortest reply I got, and his response was, virgin, LOL. That was all he sent me back. That was the whole entire answer. But when we think about Mary, what do you think about? It was the fact that she was a virgin. She was going to have a child. Her purity. And that's the second thing. It was her purpose. God gave her a purpose, but one of the reasons God chose her was her purity. And we think about that, and some people have so much trouble grasping the fact that a virgin could have a baby. Well, if you have problems grasping the fact that a virgin can have a baby, you're probably going to have a lot of trouble when you look up at the stars and you see all these other things God created. Or when you look at a tree sitting out there across the parking lot, you're going to have trouble with that because we serve a God that created by speaking. That's the God we serve. And he chose Mary. She was a virgin, and he sent her that way, and that's how Jesus had to come. But there's some other things about her purity that I think of as well, despite not just her virginity. It says here, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel, and it says, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And then it says the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. That word favored right there, do you know what it means? Grace. God has shown you great grace is what it means right there. So one of the things about Mary, why would God pick somebody like that? Well, it's unmerited favor, but if you look and you think about this woman, somebody like her, 12, 13 years old, think about this, somebody so dedicated to God, so handed over to him, he would pick that person to deliver his son into this world. 12 or 13, can I confess something to you? I have a hard time sometimes getting my Bible open every day. Anybody else have a hard time sometimes praying? Am I the only one in this room? Every single one of us do, don't we? 12, 13 years old. Purity. You know, we look at her and, you know, I know there's some teachings out there. And the song you sang earlier says, the child that you delivered would one day deliver you. I had a friend of mine tell me not too long ago that he had a problem with that song because he believed that Mary had not sinned and she didn't need the deliverance of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right there. They would not have used the word grace if Mary did not need grace as well. Yep. She was not the deliverer of grace at that moment. She was a receiver of grace, just like we are. But it was her purity. That was another thing. God looked at that, and, you know, for us, that's what he wants from us, is for us to live a pure life. And it's hard sometimes. One of the greatest blessings I have right now, I've got a good friend of mine, and I'll close with his story in just a minute, but went through some things, and every single day he texts me some scripture verses. And he keeps me on track, and you're going to hear why that's ironic in a minute. But Mary, God gave her her purpose. He looked at her and found in her purity. And the next thing, and this is, you know, kind of heading from the cradle, because that's who God sent his son to be delivered to. I want you to look at Luke 2, verse 22 and 24. It says, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So we see Mary's purpose. God gives her, you know, shows her her purpose in life. He chose her because of her purity. But one of the shocking things you see about the person God sent to raise his son, or God chose to raise his son, is her poverty. And yes, I'm using all P words this morning. Her poverty. So if you look at this passage of Scripture, one of the things that kind of stands out is, what did they offer as a sacrifice? It was a pair of doves, or it says, or two young pigeons. Do you know why they gave that specific sacrifice? Because if you look on the levels of sacrifices, that was the very bottom pillar right there. That was as low as you could get. It was poverty. And here's the thing I want you to think about. God chose her, gave her her purpose, chose her because of her purity, but still, and there's nothing wrong with having material things, but here, later on, we still see that God, the person God chose to bring his son into this world, they're walking around not as one of the richest people that ever lived. Rich in spirit, I'm sure, and that's what Scripture says, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, I believe is what it said. But we see them, they're still going on, and they go into the temple to make the sacrifice, and they offer that sacrifice, the lowest sacrifice you could offer. And guys, I want you to get this. God is not a respecter of persons. It does not matter what degree you have. It does not matter what letters are before your name. It doesn't matter who you know. None of that stuff matters to God. And a lot of times, and this is the thing that breaks my heart. I was thinking about this. So many times, you know what becomes the centerpiece of our Christmas? That tree that, like at our house, that sits in the living room. It's not dead center, but that tree becomes the centerpiece and those gifts that go under it, and not what the meaning of what stands behind it. I asked myself this question yesterday. If I had no money, could buy no gifts, what would Christmas mean to me? It's kind of funny, but I thought about the Grinch, and y'all, a lot of y'all have seen that over the years, and how he took all those gifts out of that town, and those people were still happy. But what would Christmas mean without all the gifts? For you and I sitting in this room, it still means everything that it does and did before that. You know, gifts are great. Spending time with your family is great. Loving on people, eating food is great. I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do, too. I love to eat. But above all those things, Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Christ. And it doesn't require money. The person who married didn't, they weren't rich, but they were rich in the fact that they had a relationship with God, that they walked with him, that they're there in the temple offering that, that they, in a manger, you think about that, the lowest of the low, the shepherds were there with them, poor people, the outcasts of society, they were in a state of poverty, but that's who God used, and we're still reading about her today, and people are still talking about her. She still sits center stage right here at the bottom of this altar. God chose Mary, someone out of poverty, someone who didn't have all those things, and he can use us. All it takes is us giving him what we have. It's not how much we have, it's offering what we do have. That's what he wants from us. One more P word, passion. So we've got Mary's purpose. She received that from an angel. We know that God, you know, certified that with putting someone around her. We've got her purity. We see her poverty. And the last thing, and if we go to John 19, I'm going to read you this. John 19, verse 26 and 27. Let me get there too. My mark fell out. All right, it says this. I'll read from 25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So the last thing we see, and we think, and you know, I imagine most of you have seen the Passion of the Christ, and you know that's Jesus' walk to his death. But another aspect of the Passion was that Mary was there at the cross with him. She went from the cradle to the cross with him. And there, you know, there were times where they were at a wedding and he did a miracle. There were times where all these good things happened. But here at the end, when he's about to be sacrificed, you find his mother there at the cross, and you see something interesting happen. You see him give his mother, John, as her son, and he takes Mary to be his mother from that point on. And out of all the things that I want you to get this morning, I read some things on Facebook that kind of disturbed me yesterday, and that's kind of a typical thing. But the last thing I'm going to read you, and I've got this marked, is James 1, 27. Let's see. This mark back here. It says this. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know what happened to Mary that day? In a way, she was already a widow, right? Kind of seemed probably like she was being left by herself, almost orphaned, but she was given a son right there. She was given him. But here's what Scripture says, and I want you to grab onto this, okay? It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. What does loving Jesus really look like? It centers around love, and of all the people it names to love, who is it? Orphans and widows, those left by themselves, that's who God wants us to take care of. I think I shared this story with Pastor Kevin a couple weeks ago. I went to Albertsons in Lake Charles, and there's a guy standing outside. And if you're like me, you're a little bit skeptical when somebody comes up and asks for money, right? I mean, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. So this guy comes up and asks for me for money. And I said, man, I said, and this was probably not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. I pulled my wallet out and opened it and showed him. I'm like, I don't have any cash, no cash on me. I said, but I tell you what, I said, is there anything else I can do for you? I said, matter of fact, why don't you let me pray for you right now? And he's like, man, he said, I would appreciate that so much. That was not the, I'm just confessing this, that was not the answer I was expecting right then at that particular second. He said, I want you to do that for me. And he opened a backpack up, and he said, this is where I live. And he opened that backpack up, and there was a pillow, and there was a blanket in there. And it kind of broke my heart. Actually, it broke my heart a lot. And I said, tell you what, I said, we're going to pray in just a second. Why don't we do this? I said, let me take you inside. I said, I'm going to buy you something to eat and something to drink. I said, then we'll bring you out here, and then I'm going to pray for you. So the manager, I did not realize this at the time, the manager from Albertsons is watching this whole thing. I'm pretty sure he wanted this guy ran off. So I walk him in there, I bring him in there, and I buy him an 8-piece chicken, some stuff, buy him something to drink, and we went out there and we prayed. And he's like, man, thank you so much. He's like, I appreciate this. And he ate like a piece of chicken. I walk to the car, I look up, and this guy is gone. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When he walked up to me, I was skeptical. And I want to encourage y'all to do something. I know every case you can't do this. I know it's not always feasible. But I will tell you this. If you do the right thing, it doesn't matter if they do the wrong thing with it. What does that say? Religion that God our fathers accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows. That guy was a grown man, but you know what he was? Is an orphan. There's a lot of orphans out there, and this is the last thing I say too. Mary became a widow the day Joseph died, and I'm going to tell you, my heart, one of the things I think about is all the people that are alone during Christmas. You know, it's the happiest time in the world for kids, and they think about all the gifts they're going to get, but y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, there's somebody somewhere sitting by themselves going through the first Christmas they've ever had. One of my best friends, his mom is going through the first Christmas she's ever had without her husband this year. She's been widowed, and she's been on my mind a lot, and I've been thinking about her, and I've been praying about her. But one of the most important things we can do, and Scripture says this, as Christians, is to look after the orphans and the widows. I want to challenge you guys to do something. I want you to pray, and I'm going to pray for you in just a second, and I want you to ask God to reveal to you an orphan that you know, and it may not be somebody that's completely, you know, what we picture in an orphanage or something like that. It may just be somebody who's out there alone, and I want you to ask God to give you a widow to, A, pray for, but when you pray for them, this is what I want you to pray. Pray that God would let you intervene in their life and make a difference with them. Let's do that. As we close this morning, I want to ask you this. A, do you know what God's purpose is for your life? And I confess to you, I couldn't pinpoint it, but I know this. My purpose is to share my testimony, to preach the word when I'm called to, and to love him with all my heart. That's what Scripture says. And then to love my neighbor as myself. The next question I want to ask you is this. God looked at Mary and her life, and she lived a pure life. Where do you stand right now? I'll be the first one to confess. there's some things I deal with in my head on a daily basis, and I'm maybe not as sanctified as I need to be. That's a fancy word for being pure and being useful or usable by God. Where do you stand when it comes to purity? The next thing, you know, I want to admonish you not to do this, and, you know, I don't think you will. Don't go broke on Christmas. Don't forget, I'm serious, don't put yourself in a state of poverty. We had our church staff Christmas party. You want me to tell you one of my favorite things about that whole night? We read the Christmas story. It was read in the room with us, room full of adults. That's one of my favorite things. Don't forget what makes Christmas Christmas. Don't X Christ out. Remember, it's Christ, and it's not about things. And hey, we even as adults get locked up into that, right? And finally, the last thing I'll say to you, what has God made you passionate about? Chances are that thing that you're passionate about, you know, we look at the passion and that Mary had in her heart, the love she had for God, the passion she had for Christ as he died on the cross. I pray that God wakes up a passion in you this Christmas like you've never had before. I pray that's the greatest gift that you get. And the greatest gift you can give is giving yourself to him and letting him use you. Let me pray for you. Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you once again for life and it more abundantly. We thank you that, Father, you found Mary, Father, and found her worthy to carry your son. And you showed her grace, Father. And you love us and you care about us, Father, enough to send us your son to die on a cross for us. Father, help us to be passionate. Help us to love the lost, Father, the orphans and the widows. In Jesus' name, amen.